Hi everybody, it's me, Alexander Larson with Bible Truth 23 here, doing another video in this series for dummies where I talk about basic doctrines that the Bible teaches that a lot of people misunderstand or misrepresent, or a lot of people don't believe even though it's clearly taught in the Bible. So what I want to talk about today is the subject of calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I wanted to do this quite some time ago, back in November, because there's this popular YouTube channel out there called Good Hope, which I think has like 100-something thousand subscribers. And he came out with this doctrine and all these videos saying that you don't have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, which is not what the Bible teaches. But because a lot of things in my life were, I was distracted by them, I didn't get a chance to make that video. But recently there's been a few other people who have come up and started saying all this garbage that you don't have to call on the name of the Lord. So I decided to make this today just to get this clear and to make it clear what the Bible says about these things, because a lot of people are confused on this and a lot of people teach wrongly that you don't have to call on the name of the Lord. But the Bible tells us very clearly. Let's just start with a very simple verse, Romans chapter 10. And this is not that difficult to figure out, but these people will twist Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 14 and they'll try to say, well, somebody who believes it's possible for them to not call on the name of the Lord. So basically, they're accusing us of teaching work salvation, because for them, somehow asking for a gift means earning it, which makes no sense, and nobody in their right mind would think that. But they also say that that's a false doctrine, and that you're adding to salvation by saying you also have to call on the name of the Lord. But as we'll see from the Bible, calling on the name of the Lord is part of believing, and somebody who does not call on the name of the Lord when they get saved do not believe in Jesus, okay? It is a necessary part of salvation, and it is very clearly taught here in Romans chapter 10 as well as other places. So we'll start here because this is the clearest verse about it in the Bible. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, this is important, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, these fools out there who will attack this doctrine of calling on the name of the Lord, they'll say, well, you know, somebody who believes in their heart, you know, they're already made righteous. But then they literally just ignore, like this Good Hope guy, Norm Diamante, I think is his name, he just ignores the second half of the verse, where it says that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, if in the first half it says unto righteousness, you understand that as meaning that you have to believe in order to achieve righteousness, which is exactly what the Bible teaches in other places, like in Romans 4 or 5, where it says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In order to have righteousness imputed unto you, you have to have faith. You have to believe in your heart. So, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness means that when that person believes, that's when they achieve righteousness. Okay, so before somebody believes, they don't have righteousness yet. So it's the exact same wording used halfway, or the second half of the verse 10 right there, where it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So why would the word unto change meaning halfway through the verse? It says unto righteousness in the first half, and then it says unto salvation in the second half. Because somebody who is not called on the name of the Lord, they are not saved. Because it says very clearly, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means you haven't achieved salvation yet. In order to receive salvation, you have to call on the name of the Lord. That's what it clearly teaches. Let's continue reading. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, now they will twist this doctrine. Again, they'll just completely ignore what Romans 10 clearly says, and what these people attack the doctrine of calling on the name of the Lord. What they say is that calling on the name of the Lord is something that happens after salvation. They'll say, well, it's when a believer prays to God. It's just talking about everyday prayers that a believer does. But it's not something you have to do to be saved. Okay. But verse 13 does not say, whosoever is saved shall call on the name of the Lord. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So they're twisting it. They're making it backwards, where the Bible tells us that in order to be saved, you have to call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, meaning they're not saved yet. Okay? But they're saying, well, no, somebody who is saved is going to call on the name of the Lord. That's not what it says. Because, again, verse 10 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? So, these things take place simultaneously, believing and calling on the name of the Lord. That's why verses 11 and 12, verse 11 talks about believing on him. Verse 12 talks about those who call upon him. Okay? These are not two different things. It's not, well, there's no such thing as somebody out there who believes in Jesus and then, you know, years go by and they haven't called on the name of the Lord and then they go to hell. There's no such thing as that. Because the Bible makes it very clear that anybody who believes will call on the name of the Lord. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, a foolish argument that these people will bring up, they'll say, well, you're trying to make salvation about a prayer. You're trying to say that prayer saves you. No, we're not. Okay? Because that would be just as foolish as saying that you're relying on a preacher to save you as well. Okay? Let me explain. Because these people will say, well, if you teach that you have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, that means you're trusting in your prayer. No, it doesn't. Okay, because you're calling on the name of the Lord. You're not calling on yourself. You're not trusting in yourself. You're looking to the Lord still to save you. Okay, but it tells us clearly in verse 15, it tells us that there's an order of things. Okay, so first somebody is sent, then they preach the gospel, and then the unsaved person hears the gospel, and then they believe in him, and then they call upon the name of the Lord. That's why it has verses 14 and 15 here, because it says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, nobody can believe in Jesus unless they have heard the word of God preached by a saved man of God. That's what Romans 10 is teaching here. Now, because of that fact, does that mean that they're relying or trusting in the preacher to save them from hell? Does that mean their faith is in the preacher? No, it doesn't. But the preacher is a necessary component to them getting saved. Okay, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, how shall they hear of him? Or I'm sorry, it says, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So the Bible makes it very clear that without a preacher, they won't hear the gospel, and therefore they won't believe, and they won't call on the name of the Lord. But does that mean that the fact that the preacher is a necessary component to somebody getting saved, does that mean that they're trusting in the preacher now? No, that's foolish. Nobody would think that. So why is saying that calling on the name of the Lord is a necessary component to salvation saying that they're trusting in that prayer? Now, if somebody is trusting in their prayer, they're going to hell. Because you need to trust in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe that he alone is enough to save you and not trust in yourself. But anybody who believes will call on the name of the Lord because these things take place simultaneously. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. Okay, if they believe in their heart, they're going to confess with their mouth unto salvation. Okay? You can't leave that part out and say that there's people out there who believe and haven't called on the name of the Lord. There's no such thing. If somebody has not called on the name of the Lord, they're not saved, not because they didn't say some magic prayer, but because they did not believe. Okay? If somebody does not call on the name of the Lord, whether it's with their mouth or in their heart, they have not believed in Jesus, and that's what Romans chapter 10 is teaching. Let's see some other scriptures on this. Again, Romans chapter 10 makes it very clear. Confession is made unto salvation, okay? So if you say that it comes after salvation, you're a fool. That's not what the Bible says. I heard this preacher say, completely twist Romans chapter 10, verse 10, and he said, well, it says confession is made unto salvation, not for salvation. But again, the first part says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, okay? Nobody is going to misunderstand what that means, that if you believe, then righteousness is imputed unto you, as taught in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5 and all throughout the rest of the epistles of Paul, that you need to believe in order to have righteousness imputed unto you. Okay? So in the same way, somebody who believes in their heart, they confess with their mouth unto salvation, meaning they haven't achieved salvation yet. Okay? Somebody gets saved when they call on the name of the Lord. That's the moment that they get saved. Okay? Now, if somebody calls on the name of the Lord or makes a prayer but they don't believe in their heart, they're going to hell, according to the Bible, because how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So we're not saying, again, and that this is a straw man that they'll use. They'll say, well, you're saying that you have to trust in a prayer, that a prayer saves you. Again, no, that's not what we're saying, okay? Because anybody can just pray a prayer or just repeat a prayer. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven. And we don't believe that, and we don't teach that, okay? Like this Norm Diamante guy, the Good Hope guy, he was the video he made originally attacking, calling on the name of the Lord, he tried to hide at first behind the idea of, well, you don't have to confess it publicly or you don't have to repeat a prayer. And I agree with that. You don't have to repeat a prayer that somebody says and you don't have to confess it publicly. Okay? The key component is calling on the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Calling on the name of Jesus. Okay? The name of the Lord is Jesus. So if you call on him, or if you speak to Jesus, you ask him to save you, or you confess your belief to Jesus, that's what happens the moment you believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You call on the name of the Lord, okay? But it doesn't have to be public, and it doesn't have to be something that's repeated. I mean, me personally, when I got saved in my bedroom. There was nobody around. I was watching a video online explaining the gospel, okay? I didn't repeat a prayer that somebody led me in, and I didn't do it publicly, okay? So we're not saying you have to repeat a prayer or do it publicly in order to go to heaven, okay? We're saying that if somebody believes in Jesus, they're going to confess with their mouth, because that's what Romans 10 clearly teaches. And it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, okay? It's not whosoever saved will call on the name of the Lord. They're twisting it. They're making it backwards, okay? Let's see some other verses on this. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, exactly what Romans 10:13 says. There's another really clear verse. Acts 22, verse 16. Acts 22, verse 16. Okay. The Bible says in Acts 22, verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, it's pretty clear that baptism does not wash away your sins. Okay, anybody who's saved understands that. So, what washes away your sins then? There's only one other thing that's mentioned in the verse. Calling on the name of the Lord. Because again, Romans 10 teaches that calling on the name of the Lord and believing, these are simultaneous. Okay, they're the same thing practically. Okay, somebody does not believe if they have not called on the name of the Lord. Okay, another clear verse. Psalm 116. I don't have these verses written down, I just have the references, so excuse me for a bit while I turn to these verses. Psalm 116, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So how do you take the cup of salvation? By calling on the name of the Lord. Just like Romans 10:10 says that confession is made unto salvation, okay? Psalm 55, verse 16. Psalm 55, verse 16. The Bible says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Okay? So when you call upon God, the Lord will save you. Okay? Psalm 86. I don't know why this is so hard to understand when the Bible clearly says it. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So, God has mercy upon those that call upon him, okay? How are we saved? How do we have our sins forgiven? How do we wash away our sins according to Acts 22, verse 16? By calling on the name of the Lord. Now, they'll say, well, you know, you're adding to salvation. You're saying that faith isn't enough. No, we're not saying faith isn't enough, because faith and calling on the name of the Lord, again, these are simultaneous, okay? You need to have your faith in Jesus, not faith in words or faith in a prayer. You need to have your faith in Jesus to save you. But somebody who believes is going to call on the name of the Lord. That is a necessary result of believing in your heart. Okay? As Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, now they'll say, well, calling on the name of the Lord, that's a work. You're trying to make salvation about works by saying that you also have to make this confession unto God or call upon the name of the Lord. That's foolish. Nobody in their right mind would think that asking for a gift is working for the gift. Okay, if I were to offer this Bible to you as a gift, and I say, well, here, I paid for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. I did all the work for it. All you have to do is just take it. And you say, okay, can I have it? Does that mean you earned the gift? Does that mean you worked for it? No. But you asked for it. Okay, because anybody, if a gift is offered to them, they're going to ask for the gift in order to take the gift. And we'll see a verse in a moment, Acts or John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm not going to read it right now, but later, where Jesus made it very clear that if you ask for living water, he will give it to you. In the context, living water is eternal life. Okay, now Romans 10, 14 makes it very clear that if you don't believe, you could say whatever you want, but that doesn't count. So you have to believe and confess, as it says very clearly in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Okay, somebody can't just repeat a prayer and go to heaven. They have to believe in their heart, trust in Jesus, and once they trust, once they believe, then they call upon the name of the Lord, according to the Bible. For faith is expressed by calling, as we'll see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So, why does somebody speak? Why does somebody confess the name of Jesus? Why did somebody call on the name of the Lord? Because they have believed. Okay, so, somebody who believes, they call on the name of Jesus. It's not, well, you know, this is an extra requirement, or this is, you know, making it not by faith alone. No, somebody who believes in their heart, they're going to speak. They're going to confess that to God. They're going to call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible clearly says. These things are not separated. The Bible also very clearly tells us that those who have called on the name of the Lord, they are the people who are saints. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So somebody sanctified because they have called in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, calling on the name of the Lord. When you do that, you have become sanctified, meaning in the sight of God you have been made holy, your sins have been washed away, the righteousness of God has been imputed unto you. Another verse, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now again, the Bible teaches that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, these idiots out there who attack calling on the name of the Lord, they will say that, oh, you're trying to make salvation by works. You're trying to add to a salvation, which again is ridiculous, because asking for a gift or simply confessing that you believe is not working, is not earning anything, is not doing anything good, it's not doing any deeds or works. It's just you believe and you speak what you believe. That's not earning it. That's not trusting in yourself. That's just saying, you know, I believe, can I have the gift? That's not trusting in yourself. That's a foolish thing to say. But the Bible tells us, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And we even see this in an example of this in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, when it talks about the Pharisee and the publican. Luke chapter 18, verse 13 to 14. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So he's giving this example of this man who calls on the name of the Lord and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That would be asking for salvation. And Jesus says he went to his house being justified. Okay? Because by thy words thou shalt be justified, as it says in Matthew 12, 36. He called on the name of the Lord. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So he spoke to the Lord, and the Bible says that, how shall they call on him when they not believe? So we're not saying that, oh, this guy just prayed a prayer and that's it. No, he believed in his heart, and that's why he called upon God to be merciful unto him, because he's trusting in God. Now, this guy is not trusting in himself. This guy's not trusting in his works. That's why he's calling on God to save him, as opposed to the Pharisee, who is also speaking to God, But he's exalting himself and saying, you know, look how good I am. I deserve to go to heaven. I've done all these good things. But this man is humbling himself and saying, you know, I don't, you know, admit I don't deserve to go to heaven. You know, God be merciful to me, right? So that's because he has faith in his heart. He's trusting in God. That's why he's justified. So again, these things are in conjunction. You can't separate believing and calling on the name of the Lord. They happen at the same time. Okay. Another good example of this is the fact that Jesus asked believers if they believe. Okay. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus, of course, we know Jesus is God, so he knew everything, and he knew the hearts of man. It says in John 2:25, and needed not that they should testify of man, for he knew that what was in man. And then it talks about in Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, an example of where Jesus says that he knows their thoughts. It says in Matthew 9, 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So Jesus knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. Jesus knew what was in man. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our thoughts. He knows what we believe. Yet we see several examples of where Jesus asks people if they believe in him. Okay? Now, why would he do that if he already knows the answer? Okay? Let me give an example. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Okay? So, Jesus already knew this guy's thoughts, because Jesus knows the hearts and the thoughts of every man. And yet he still asks, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? Why? Because he's prompting that confession out of his mouth. Lord, I believe. Okay? So, they might say, well, you know, God already knows your thoughts. God already knows your heart, so you don't have to call on the name of the Lord. It's just you believe, and then calling on the name of the Lord is something you do after salvation. But that's, again, not what the Bible says. We see an example right here of somebody calling on the name of the Lord once they have believed in their heart. John chapter 11 is another example. John chapter 11, verse 25, 27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked, believest thou this? Now again, Jesus knew Martha's heart. So why is he asking her, do you believe this? He already knows the answer. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So again, she's confessing with her mouth the Lord Jesus, as it talks about in Romans 10:9 and 10:10. And so this is the moment that she gets saved. Okay, because she believes in her heart, and now she's confessing that with her mouth. Okay, now I want to just explain what calling on the name of the Lord means itself, because some people have a twisted definition of this, but simply it just means to speak or to pray to God in any context. Now, it's true that there are times in the Bible where it talks about calling on the name of the Lord, where it's just talking about praying to God in other instances, okay? For example, let me give you a few examples. Because, you know, we want to have a balanced view of this as well. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Okay? So, again, you know, as believers, we should pray every day. Assuming that this is written by David, it doesn't really say, but you know, he's saying, as long as I live, I'll call upon the name of the Lord, right? Then we see in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, another example. We have Elijah, who's, of course, already a saved man. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, he says, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And, of course, with the context, this is when he's with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And he's saying, you know, call on the name of your gods. Their gods were Baal. And then he calls in the name of the Lord. And then fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering that Elijah gives. So, another example, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And then just for one more example, Psalm 18, verse 3. Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So in that respect, he's talking about not deliverance from hell, but he's talking about being delivered from his enemies, saved from his enemies. Okay? But, so to call on the name of the Lord, again, just means to pray. And that's why we see these examples that I just read. So when it talks about in Romans chapter 10, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that's again speaking to the Lord, and the name that we need to confess, according to Romans 10 and the rest of the New Testament, is Jesus Christ. Of course, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the name of Jesus revealed, so they either called upon Jehovah or God Almighty. But we are to call upon the name of Jesus. Once we believe in Jesus in our heart, confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so there is that prayer that takes place. Now, whether you call it a prayer or not, because some people will make a big deal about, well, do you really have to pray? Do you really have to ask for it? And they'll attack that and they'll say, well, you know, asking for salvation isn't biblical. But here's the thing. Jesus says otherwise. John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. So Jesus makes it very clear. If you knew the gift of God, okay, so he's making it clear that this, that he's giving out the eternal life, it's free, it's a gift. If you knew what it was, you would say, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So if you know the gift, you believe in Jesus, you ask him, he gives you the gift. That's how simple it is, okay? Now, do you necessarily have to phrase it in a question format? No, because what's important is that you're calling on the name of the Lord. What's important is not how you say it or the particular words that you say, okay? Like I talked about at the beginning of this video, it's not repeating a certain prayer. There's not a certain, you know, prayer format of what you need to say, okay? You don't have to make a public confession. It's just you have to call on the name of the Lord, whether you're asking for that salvation or whether you're just confessing the belief like Martha did. She says, yea, I believe, you know, that thou art the Son of God, right? So either way, you still have to call on the name of the Lord. And somebody who says that that takes place after salvation does not know the Bible, because we just went through many verses that make it very clear that, first of all, confession is made unto salvation. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, implying that they're not saved yet. And then it talks about, you know, rise up and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So you wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. Okay? I believe, therefore I have spoken, the Bible says. You know, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And we see the example of the publican who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went away being justified. Okay? So it's not somebody's justified and they're saved and they're going to heaven and then they call on the name of the Lord after. Now we do, because that just means to pray. But somebody who believes, they're going to call upon the name of the Lord when they get saved. That is just a fact. That's what the Bible teaches. So if there's somebody out there, like if you're going soul winning, for example, and you show them what the Bible says, if you know they understand it and they're following along with you, but they refuse to call on the name of the Lord, they do not believe. Okay? And I believe that strongly, because the Bible makes it very clear that somebody who does not call upon the name of the Lord, they are not saved. Confession is made unto salvation. If you don't believe that, you don't believe what the Bible clearly says. Okay? Because these people are trying to say, well, asking for salvation isn't working for it, which is retarded. It's foolish. Okay? Again, I don't know how simple I can make this. I mean, this series is called For Dummies, because I'm trying to simplify this as best as I can for anybody to understand it. Okay? If I were to offer this Bible to you and I say, this is a gift, I paid for it. It's free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything good for it. You don't have to give me money. You don't have to wash my car, or mow my lawn, or serve me, or obey anything I say. All you have to do is just take the gift. And you say, okay, I'll have it. Am I going to say, well, now you're trying to work for it. Now you're trying to earn it. That's foolish. Asking for a gift, or confessing that you believe that he will give you the gift, is not working for it. It's not earning it. That's a stupid doctrine. So these people out there attack calling on the name of the Lord, they have no idea what they're talking about. The Bible makes it very clear, confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Okay? You need to believe, and then once somebody believes, they call on the name of the Lord. Okay? They confess that with their mouth. Okay? That's why it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Okay? It's not, you know, you can't separate. It's not either or. It's both. Okay? They take place at the same time. They're simultaneous. They're in conjunction. Somebody who believes, they're going to call on the name of the Lord. If they don't, they don't believe. That's how simple it is. Okay? Thank you, everybody, for watching. God bless you and goodbye.